Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the thing about the Astros, like the Warriors have too. It's that when you have that much experience in championship environments, you're not peeing down your leg nearly as much. Because that's what does teams in. And it doesn't always look like they're peeing down their legs, but they're peeeing down their legs. Sometimes it's like
internal pee.
Yeah. And they might not feel nervous. Sometimes it's not that you're nervous. It's that you're trying so hard, or you think you have to ratchet up or dial up the intensity so much. And that was one thing that an older player told me when I was younger, that I played well in the playoff games that I played in. And I think partly because I had some good advice about that. Like, if you're a competitor naturally, the situation will take over. Like, you will rise to the occasion. There's nothing extra that you have to do consciously or different than you've done all along. And that just by going through your normal routine and going through your normal preparation, not to say that you don't, you're going to naturally add a little edge to everything. Yeah. It's when you start consciously thinking like, okay, this is different. I'm going to do it differently today, or it's going to be incredible. You run the danger of just all of a sudden screwing up your responsibilities or not playing with good technique. And I think whether you're the Astros, the Warriors, any teams like that, those guys just get into those environments and they don't seize up. They stay loose and comfortable.
Yeah, the moment doesn't get too big for them, especially if you've been in that moment and you've thrived, you've had success, you've had failures in those moments before. It's not going to you'll be able to reach back on what you've done in the past and say, like, how did I handle it this time? How did I handle it this, that time? And be able to know what you need to do going forward. The Astros, that's the last thing you worry about them when they're in the playoffs, when they're in the ALCS or in the World Series, of them thinking that the moment is too big for them and them, whether it's being too anxious, being nervous, being, scared to make a play, scared to take a risk. Those are the things that's kind of the least of your worries, because it's just another opportunity for them to chase greatness. And when you're focused on, like, making the play as opposed to making mistakes, you'll have a tremendous amount of success. Like, hey, I'm going to go win the game as opposed to I'm trying not to lose it.
Yeah, that was and that actually got me thinking about the Chiefs, because the Chiefs, as the Chiefs are, I think they're being picked behind the Bills by most people in terms of where they lie
they
in
should.
The AFC right now. Yeah, I mean,
should.
You lose Tyreek Hill, it's kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal.
The one thing, I had been looking at the Chiefs and thinking about Pat Mahomes and the fact that he seemingly took a bit of a step back last year as defenses started to make it more uncomfortable for him. The one thing that has me concerned, and this article is not pulling up for some reason, I had a quote by Travis Kelce I wanted to read, but basically, Travis Kelce, who also didn't have a great year last year, but Travis Kelce was asked about George Kittle's comments. George Kittle had said that Travis Kelce was criminally underpaid or something like that. And Travis Kelce basically said that, look, I'm not here for the money. I'm here for the legacy and the team. And a lot of guys say things like that. But I do wonder with the Chiefs, if this is the key development to watch, if Pat Mahomes does not start agitating for a new contract sometime in the next couple of years And the reason, and it turns out that the reason he signed that 10-year deal was that because he knew he was going to be, like, if you keep playing well, at some point you're going to be underpaid because the salaries keep going up. If he's basically willing to do the Tom Brady pay cut in a different fashion, in a different way, and that if Travis Kelce is kind of on board with that kind of thinking, then, yeah, they might be able to continue to build these teams around Travis Kelce in a way that it's going to be really hard to do in Cleveland or elsewhere with contracts like Deshaun Watson's. Like, Deshaun Watson's contract is far more exorbitant than Pat Mahomes' contract is, and that's what I'm watching out for is the Tom Brady effect.
Yeah, and like when he signed his deal, and then they re-upped. What's the defensive lineman's name? I can't think of his name right now. Big defensive lineman for the Chiefs.
Chris Jones,
right?
Yeah.
Like when he signed his deal, Pat Mahomes signed their deal. You know, Kelce, all those guys were getting those deals, and they were taking less money so that they could sign one another. And if they have that mentality of, hey, the top guys on the team are going to take a little bit less than what is perceived as market value in order to keep the team together and keep them playing at a high level for a longer period of time, that mentality is going to translate to them winning games and sustaining success for a long period of time, as long as they draft well and they supplement the talent they already have there. But it kind of goes to the wayside a little bit because they traded away Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill was a guy that was basically underpaid at his receiver spot. Now he's traded away. That's a significant part of the talent that is out the building, and other teams around them are getting better. Like the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills. You see what's happening in their own division with the Denver Broncos and the Chargers. Like, these are teams that are bringing in young, talented rosters, and they're under the salary cap. They're able to maneuver and bring in free agents as well. It's going to be very, very difficult for the Chiefs to keep up anything close to what you're seeing out of the Astros and what you're seeing out of like the Warriors, because what the Astros and Warriors have shown you is they can lose all-star players, you know, big time players, and they can replace them with young talent that just fits right in. You've seen it with Pena playing for Correa now this year for the Astros. You've seen it with a guy like, okay, Kevin Durant leaves the Warriors. Now they got like Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole that are taking those buckets and those minutes that Durant had, and now they're back in the finals, and the Astros are back at the top of the MLB like they've been the last few years. Can the Kansas City Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill and they replace them with somebody? I'm not sold on that yet. I'm kind of skeptical, especially with everything that's going on around them with the other teams around the league.
That's where I don't think people realize what kind of a leap Pat Mahomes has to take this year, because it's the escape hatch that he had late in the down with Tyreek Hill when things fell apart at times. One was, okay, yeah, you've got the ability to throw to Tyreek Hill because he's Tyreek Hill when things break down. Two was, okay, other guys come open because people are fixated on Tyreek Hill when the play starts to break down. But three, and this is something that's disappeared a little bit already because of the way teams are playing the Chiefs, but might really disappear is Pat Mahomes' ability to run. You know, especially think about a couple of years ago and 3 years ago where Pat Mahomes would have just these gigantic runs because everybody was paranoid and downfield and trying to cover their asses in the passing game. Teams tamped down on that a little bit. He had room to run because teams were playing cover two against him so much with deep safeties, but it wasn't the same breakaway stuff. And he just had less home run ability both on the air and in the ground last year. So I think the step that he has to take towards becoming more of a Tom Brady type of guy that's just going to dink and dunk you and bleed you to death slowly. He started to make it last year, and obviously it almost got him to the Super Bowl. It's going to continue to raise the level of difficulty without Tyreek Hill. Level of difficulty in broadcasting a baseball team. The Astros are amongst the best in the league at this. And I've got – it's not just me bragging about Blum and Callis and Joely Morales anymore. I've got objective, hardcore stat nerd Steph proof that this is one of the best broadcast teams in the league. We'll play it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's a very slow news day or news week in Houston sports. Obviously, a lot of news going on elsewhere. But I got to thinking yesterday, what would Landry Locker do? Landry is brilliant when it comes to times like this, when there's not a whole lot going on. He goes in and he seeks out audio and lists and deep dives into things. So I don't have Landry's natural talent, but I was sitting around and I was I had to break it to Brandy that there was no Astros game last night and that she had to just sit around looking at me for 3 hours instead of watching a baseball game. And it got me to thinking, all right, I watch other teams a good chunk, a good amount. I try to watch the other team's broadcast during an Astros game for at least a half inning or so to try to get a feel for what they're saying about the Astros.
Yeah.
Maybe catch them with some stupid joke about the trash cans. But frankly, I find myself underwhelmed at times. There's a few really good ones out there, but I find myself underwhelmed by people other than Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, and Joely Morales. So yeah, last night I was thinking, all right, how do other people think of the MLB broadcast, the MLB Astros broadcast? Because a lot of people have MLB Extra Innings, they watch a lot, so people in baseball especially start to see a lot. I was very pleasantly surprised, Wade, when I went digging to find that the Astros very routinely on many lists of the power rankings of MLB TV broadcasts.
Yeah.
They're very frequently in the top five. They are genuinely as good as we here in Houston like to brag about them.
Yeah, and you know what you sound like right now, Seth, because you know, the Astros have been good for such a long time and you're so used to having a good broadcast, a good team. You seem like you are you're very much so spoiled with what you get on a day-to-day basis. If you were following other teams and you were a fan of other baseball teams in the league, basically if you weren't a Dodgers fan, then you're not going to have the same fan experience as Astros fans do, because they have been consistently good for such a long time over the past, you know, about 6 years. You know, nobody else can really have a similar experience. So that's what I'm hearing. It's like it's the same thing with the broadcast team. Like the broadcast team is – you know, arguably the best in baseball. You look at other teams and listen to their games, and it's just like you're very underwhelmed when you listen to other broadcast because Callis and Bloom are damn good at what they do. Morales is good at what she does. You know, I watch the Rangers on a consistent basis, and if the Rangers are playing the Astros, I'm going to listen to the Astros broadcast of it, not because, you know, I'm in Houston and, you know, I'm going to come into the radio and talk about them, because I don't come into the radio that often that would matter. It's that the Astros broadcast is just a better product. They're more entertaining. They're more exciting to listen to. They're more informative. They just do a better job of it.
It's I'm glad you brought up the Dodgers, who, you know, okay, their color commentator, he's this fella named Oral Hershiser.
Yeah, he was pretty decent.
He's a pretty good baseball player.
He could throw the ball like halfway decent.
But he does not have one hundredth the broadcasting ability of one Jeffrey Blum, who played on 7 or 8 different major league teams, not for marquee contracts or anything.
Right.
Did win a World Series once back in the day versus some other team. I don't remember who. And he's just a much better broadcaster than that blowhard Oral Hershiser, who was one of the original, one of the first people in his mind to say it's a lot harder when you don't know what's coming. Oral Hershiser did that hated thing that will make me despise a person forever, is when they rehash a joke about the being better than everyone else scandal. His beloved Cody Bellinger would go on to be an absolute zero ever since they started cracking down on sign stealing. But I digress. The Dodgers are not nearly as often ranked as high in the broadcast crew as the Astros are. But the one team that is resoundingly almost always number one on these lists is the Mets broadcast team, which is Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, some mix of those three guys usually. They are very good. The thing I'd say is that Keith Hernandez, he kind of bugs me sometimes, but I can concede that, A, he was a great player. So obviously, you know, people love hearing from a guy like Keith Hernandez, the caliber of player that he is, but also having a lot of personality. But this is what I can't figure out about Keith Hernandez. He's kind of eccentric and quirky and goofy.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell if it's real or not. Like, listen to this exchange. Listen to this exchange from a couple years ago.
Waka says that Wainwright takes the crust off of his PB&J. Waka likes to keep his on.
What is he, a kindergartner?
It's a little more mature.
What is a PB&J?
Peanut butter and jelly,
oh,
my friend.
Jesus.
Come on.
You know what? All this stuff is just...
It's the first two innings. We've already had the horseshoe and the PB&J.
Speak English, Spigelps.
We need to expand your knowledge base.
See, I know BLT.
Gosh.
I've never heard of peanut butter jelly sandwich.
You have grandkids, right?
They're out west. I don't see it. I don't hardly see them.
There's no PB&J west of Illinois.
So, okay, do you believe that Keith Hernandez has never heard of and didn't know what a PB&J was, and that the reason he didn't, that he thought he might not know it, is because maybe it's an East Coast thing and not a West Coast thing?
Nah, he for sure knows what a PB&J is. To me, that was like, this is something we're going to do. To me, that seemed like it was kind of contrived. And that's because I'm listening for it in that manner. Probably if I was watching it live, I'd be like, what? Come on now. You know what a PB&J is. But listening to it and actually trying to, because you brought up the point, like, is he actually this quirky and eccentric, or is it something that's contrived? To me, because I was listening for it and trying to look for it, I think that was contrived. Because it's hard. I don't want to believe he doesn't know what a PB&J is. That is very hard for me to believe.
I think it's almost impossible. Like, I don't, especially you don't get to the age that he is.
Then he backdoored and said he knew what a BLT was, but you know what a BLT is, but you don't know what a PB&J is. I don't believe it.
Plus, I gotta say, I think it was the Mets broadcast team back in the day that we were in the middle of a lost season, and they just like kind of on a whim said, you know what, let's go ahead and broadcast this Astros game from the rafters. And they like were in a, I think they were in a gondola over second base, like right over from a texter, 713-572-4610. One of our legendary listeners can tell us, 713-572-4610. I'm pretty sure it was the Mets broadcast team that did that.
I think it makes a lot of sense for the Mets to have a broadcast team that is that, you know, funny, that quirky, that interesting, because the team is not, I mean, when you're competing against the Yankees every year, as far as for market share in New York and butts in seats and people watching your games and so forth, like, to me, you got to bring something to the table that's a little different. And so it makes sense that they put a lot of emphasis on doing quirky things, doing things that'll cause them to stand out, because they're always going to be considered second class in New York to the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, or at least, to a certain element. There's a snobbishness about the Yankees that the Mets obviously don't have. Yeah, they're like the East Coast version of the A's, where they're newfangled, like in baseball terms at least. They're not the old guard, and they came around at a time where you're almost using minor league tactics to try to get that kind of feel about them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing minor league about panic and panic attacks, Wade. This is not a live read that I'm leading into for some kind of new medication or anything. I'm talking about the Houston Texans, and I want to find out what your panic level is about some of these various Texans issues. That's coming up next.
What is a PB&J?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, I've actually been really bad at this morning, and I meant to do it a whole bunch, but Landry Locker and John Lopez interviewed Tony Busby yesterday.
Mm.
They'll be airing that at 10:15, 11:15, and at noon in three parts. So it's like a little mini series with Tony Busby. So tune into that, because obviously, and we're gonna revisit a little bit of like some of the most interesting audio I've heard in that whole long torturous idea ordeal. We'll play some of that next, because I know Tony Busby responds to it when he's talking to Landry and Lopez. I was As I was reading some of these articles earlier about the Texans, they were kind of critical. And I told you, Wade, that sometimes I'll see somebody else make a criticism of the Texans that makes me angry. And then I realize, like, oh, okay, that's actually the same way I feel about it. So same way I am in the positive way with the Astros broadcast, sometimes I fear that I don't have a compass. Like, I don't know what my actual, like, my objective opinion would be if I weren't so biased about everything. So I want to get your opinion, because you're a very level-headed person. The things that I or others might be panicking about right now.
Okay.
I need you to either walk me back from the ledge or push me off into the water on these things.
Okay.
And I'll just run down a few of the very most basic ones. I'm going to start with the OTAs, where somehow we figure out a way to get panicked about silly little things in OTAs. But this one, I'm peeing in my pants a little bit about the fact that Derek Stingley is on a limited rep basis out there right now. Even though he's a rookie, he should not be injured ever because he's a rookie. That's my take.
So this is how I looked at this, and I heard the interview you guys did with Nick Caserio when he mentioned, like, hey, there's going to be certain guys that are going to be on certain programs where, you know, sometimes they're going to be practicing and sometimes they're not going to be. I just took that as, hey, he's coming off of a surgery not too long ago. There's a certain pitch count they want to keep them on. There's a certain, you know, ramp up period that they want to utilize with them. And I think it's fine. I'm not panicked about Derek Stingley at all, because to me, they have a plan and they're sticking to that plan. And that plan is what they feel like is going to get the best out of him. And it's going to keep him healthy throughout the entire year. They're looking at it long term. It's not like he's not practicing at all. I watched him doing drills out there. He looked good. He looked smooth. He looked quick. He looked athletic. All those things that is the reason why he was picked so high in the draft. Like, I'm not concerned about Stingley not fully practicing yet, because when you got to think about it, the only thing that he's not doing is actually doing live covering of receivers in, like, team or 7-on-7 drills. He was doing all the other individual stuff, which translates to that thing, but there's a little bit more of a script to what you're doing, the movements that you're making, and there's no reason to rush if that's what, you know, between your doctors, between the trainers, between your coaches, that's not required of you. So I think there's no reason to panic on that. So I'm going to pull you back from the ledge.
Okay, good. And I think a couple doctors have tried to pull me back from the ledge on that too, just in that a normal Liz Frank surgery, he had the Liz Frank fracture, or a Liz Frank type of fracture/ligament issue, whatever it was. It can take 6 months to recover from surgery. And that means, okay, if he had it in late September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So by late March might have been when he was, like, fully cleared to do football stuff.
Right.
And at that point, having been through the whole Kevin Johnson ordeal with the foot fracture, I think the thinking is likely that let's be super conservative with this. And if it was fully healed a month ago, then fine. But there's no reason to take any chances with it and just go ahead and take it slow and easy. I promise I won't panic until or unless Derek Stingley was completely out of practice for a week or two. Then I'd start to be a little bit nervous. I had this written down just because I'd kind of forgotten about it, but Jonathan Greenard was limited because he'd had foot surgery this offseason. I'm actually not worried about that at all. I think it was probably just your typical injury after a season, and you're going to take it easy, and he'll be fine.
Well, I don't know what type of foot surgery he had. I don't know if it was something that was, like, you know, significant, or was it like getting a bunion removed. I don't know. But, like, I would think that, you know, Jonathan Greenard is a guy that strikes me as somebody that wants his reps, needs his reps to feel like he's at his best. So, to me, I'd be a little bit more concerned about Greenard not practicing and how long it's going to be. He's limited. I want him to get to full speed as soon as he can, because he just strikes me as one of those dudes that he's at his best when he's getting his reps, when he's in there, he wants to do all of his reps and gets extra reps if he can possibly get them, because, you know, he's not a height, weight, speed, I'm going to beat you with just great talent type of guy. He's going to beat you because he's going to outwork you, because he's going to out physical you, because he's going to be craftier than you. As the cliche goes, he's a football player.
Yeah. And
football players aren't good if they're not playing football. There's some guys that are athletes that are like, he's an athlete and he's going to make plays just because he's faster than he can get off the ball faster than anybody else, or he's just more powerful than everybody else. You know, Gennard is more of he's a football player. And so I think he needs as many, you know, reps as he can get. And so I'd be a little bit more concerned about Gennard than I am with Stingley.
This next one I'm very intrigued to get your opinion about. And you spoke a little bit about this guy earlier. But I think that going back several years now, Wade, you are perhaps the most balanced, the most rational, and the most informed giver of opinions about this individual. And I'm talking about Laremy Tunsil. Because going back a few years, a couple years ago when Laremy Tunsil was leading the league in penalties, he had multiple offsides, you were the one to point out, like, okay, look, this is they're calling these penalties on Laremy Tunsil, but Laremy Tunsil is not the issue on a bunch of those offsides.
And documented with video footage, too.
Yes, you documented it. Yes,
they put that on Twitter, yes.
So there's that. But then also just this is what I need to have my mindset at ease a little bit. This is the Laremy Tunsil saga this year. He got injured with this finger/wrist injury, and it was supposed to put him out for a few weeks. He never ended up playing again. Nobody knew what the hell was going on or why he didn't play. It's not like anybody from the organization, jumped up and said, hey, he's busting his ass and trying to get back out there. So there's that. Then there was all kinds of speculation that he was going to get traded. And then one day he triumphantly tweets out a Leo DiCaprio gif saying he's staying. He'd redone his deal. And everybody rejoiced because everything seemed to be just fine. Now he's not at OTAs, which normally I'd say no big deal, except there's a little bit of drama in history here with Laremy Tunsil. Is there any reason to – do I need to be worried that Laremy Tunsil is somehow disgruntled or is, not all in or anything like that?
I don't know with Laremy because, you're seeing some tweets that are, I don't want to say they're questionable tweets, but it seemed like he's got some stuff going on behind the scenes. You're seeing him – almost, if you look at his tweets, you see that he's upset with some of the ratings or some of the way he's being viewed as a player.
Like the Pro Football Focus ratings stuff like that.
And so it's like, in one regard, you're saying like, okay, and he's going to use that as motivation. He's going to come in and ball out and he's going to do all these things. But then at the same time, like the fact that you're paying attention to that, I think is a little problematic. And then also that you're not here is somewhat problematic. But then you also got to couple the fact that he has not been the player that he was before he got here, since he's gotten here. But then that a lot of that, I believe, has to do with what was going on around him, what was going on with the play scheme, the play calling, uncertainty at the line of scrimmage. Now you got a guy like Warhop and Pep Hamilton at the fold that's going to be dictating what happens in a physical mindset. So it's like, I look at Tunsil this way. He's either going to have an excellent year or he's not going to be around. It's going to be one or the other. I think it's going to be like he's going to be all in and he's going to be, all pro, or something's going to happen and he's going to just – I don't know. I feel like there's like some undercurrents or something there that it could possibly go either way. I don't think it's going to be an in-between because – like, people talk about him missing time last year. People talk about him not being good in a run game. If he's playing this year, everything around him in the locker room, in the meeting room, is we are going to whoop people at the point of attack. Like, that guard, the guy that's going to be playing guard next to him, Kenyon Green, that dude don't know nothing but whoop the dude across from me.
Yeah.
George Warhop, his offensive line coach, is nothing. If it's anything, we're going to be able to punch you in the mouth and get downhill and run the football on you.
Yeah.
AJ Can, same thing.
Give it to me.
Like so if he's playing, he's gonna be fall right in line with that, and his talents and his athletic ability and his ability to be physical at the point of attack is gonna shine through. I think he'll have a hell of a year.
Okay. But
it wouldn't surprise me if it just goes completely the opposite direction, because there's like some weird stuff going on there. Like, okay, why aren't you here? Why are you tweeting about, you know, certain things? I don't know what's going on there.
You have an interesting career timeline, because you came into the league just as social media was becoming a thing at
correct,
all.
Correct.
Like, you probably correct. Had a MySpace account at some point in college, right?
I did have a MySpace. I did. And
before
my
had
music,
Facebook.
My music on my page was legit, too. Like, it was Devin the Dude, anything. Like,
But at the same time, when social media was first out, it wasn't like this omnipresent thing in your life, and it wasn't as much about sports. So you got to see social media kind of take over not just sports but athletes themselves.
Yeah.
Did you see a change in the way athletes kind of operated, where, because it used to be you could if you're an athlete and you wanted to ignore what people were saying about you, it was actually kind of easy. You just didn't pick up a paper.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't watch the nightly news.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But with Twitter, like Twitter coming to the fold, it changed the way guys consume sports, amount of stuff that you heard. Like, I got into a spat with Brian Smith on Twitter because he said something that I did not say about Case Keenum. This is in 2013. That was on Twitter. Like, I would have had to have read the paper probably a few days later, which I didn't really read the paper. I wouldn't have heard about it unless somebody came and told me about it. But because of Twitter, I saw that he said, you know, that I said something about Case Keenum, and I'm like, no, I didn't say that. And I addressed him directly on social media, on Twitter. And so it got worked out. Apparently it was transcribed incorrectly by the Houston Texans. And he was just going off of a transcript, but he didn't hear me say those words, because I wouldn't say those words that they said that I said. And so he ended up apologizing, so on and so forth. But that's just a whole nother element to that. Would have, if anything, the narrative would have just been out there. People would have believed that that's what I said. And then it would have took you like weeks or days or never got it changed that I actually didn't say this thing. So like, now you can address things head on, but you don't want to and need to address everything. Like, I took that personal. Like, yo, I would never talk negatively about my quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially after a game, after a loss. Like, are you serious right now? So I addressed it right there at that moment. That is a positive thing about social media and Twitter. But there's other things, like Pro Football Focus putting up a thing and saying I'm this or I'm that. Like, they don't – I look at Pro Football Focus as like, unless you guys are the offensive line coach and know what they're asking for when it comes to offensive line grades and judging players, you have no clue. You can guess, you can prognosticate, but there's a lot of things that they put out there that to me is inaccurate. And so,
yeah,
you know, I'm not gonna tweet Pro Football Focus, you know, do better with your articles or something. And he didn't do that, but the article came out, and then he's like, oh, you know, like, you know, just very good. Okay, we'll see. And then, you know, there's a friendly back and forth with him and Titus Howard, like, yeah, we're going to show him things are going to be different this year. Yeah, I mean, there's everything doesn't necessarily need to be addressed on social media. Certain things should just be left to, hey, I'm going to let my play do the talking.
I was looking at Laramie Tunsil's Twitter just after you had mentioned that it looked like maybe something was. It's hard to follow Laramie Tunsil's Twitter. It almost more seems like him commenting to himself about things that are happening in his life. Like he said, like there's no possible way about knowing exactly what's going on at any given time. Let's see. He just said he tweeted out randomly on May 17th. Needed that. You're like, okay, cool. All right.
That's how we originally used to tweet.
Yeah.
Like, remember
when
Twitter first came out? It was just like taking a stroll down in the park. And then that was the tweet. Like, you don't tweet stuff like that anymore. Like, oh, I really needed that. I mean, he's taking it back to the OG tweeters, I guess you could say. He's taking it back to the old school tweeters.
May 14th. That's it. They hadn't tweeted since May 10th. That was the first thing. Just So I don't know if it was that might have been, to be fair, that might have been during a game or something. But it's like almost every single tweet is incomprehensible unless you're like sitting next to him or watching the same thing he's watching. So it's cryptic, but I don't think it's trying to send a message the same way that some other former Houston Texans athletes would try to send a message. Okay. One other thing for me to panic about that I need you to set my mind at ease that is only an offensive lineman can do. Kenyon Green, there are elements to his game where I look at it, and this is when I get nervous sometimes, is when I see a guy who's big and brawny and strong and kind of can get away with bullying college guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder to bully guys in the SEC. So you get more credit for it versus like Trevor Penning, who is bullying guys at the FCS level. But that doesn't always transfer to the NFL. It rarely transfers to the NFL. You got to figure out a way to do it with technique. What elements of Kenyon Green's game do you see from college that might need to change or refine going into the NFL?
I think he needs to get better in pass protection and more, you know, sound in his technique in pass protection. But as far as run blocking goes, as far as coming off at the point of attack and hand placement and driving with a power angle and all of those technically sound things you need to be a run blocker, the attitude, all that type of stuff, that's going to translate very well. I saw filming him after his freshman year. I was participating in a little coaching clinic, and at the time it was during Zoom. I mean, it was during COVID, so everything was on Zoom. And I'm watching. I'm like, who the hell is this kid? Who is this left guard here? And this guy was a freshman. And you just watched his footwork off the ball. You watched his pad level, his ability to just get his hand placement, drive people off the ball. That's going to translate. Like that, he is going to be a powerful run blocker at the point of attack. And that was his freshman year. After his freshman year, I saw that. And then he continued to do that. And they moved him around a bit at Texas A&M after that point because they needed help at right tackle. They needed help at left tackle. So he was moving all around. But he's now going back to that spot where I first saw him at, that I was like, this dude is going to be a problem. Like, and I talked about Kenyon Green like 2-3 years ago with John Harris. Like, tell me about Kenyon Green, because he would look good with the Texans. That's why when they drafted him, I was like, they got him. Like, they got the dude that I saw 3 years ago that I thought would be a damn good left guard for the Houston Texans, and now that's what he's going to be. I don't have any panic level as far as run blocking with him at all. He's got to get better in pass protection with his hands and technique and all that type of stuff. That will come. But it's his ability to run back. I can't think of his offensive line coach. He was at A&M. Now he's out there. He's the coordinator at USC. But that coach is a damn good football coach. And very much so a fundamental, we're going to get after your ass type of coach. And so he fits right in with what George Warhop is. So I have no panic level at all when it comes to Kenyon Green. His temperament and the technique and fundamentals, especially in the run game, is what you want. And what guys that have been in the league and have success would probably look at and say, damn, I need to just not – because not every guy that makes it to the NFL has coaches and coaching that is as sound as what Kenyon Green had, and then also, like, took to it like a duck in water, like the way he did. So, no panic with him at all.
Oh, cool. Listen, Wade, yesterday was the day of disrespect, in which I took on all people who would disrespect the city of Houston. The disrespect continues, and I will not have it. I've got my eyes on you again, ESPN. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.